Hi, I'm Geeta Nandikotkur, Managing Editor, Asia and Middle East with Information Security Media Group. Caught up with Dr. A.S. Ramashastri, Director of Institute of Development and Research in Banking Technology recently in Hyderabad, to seek his insights on the challenges facing the banking sector and its preparedness to tackle the growing cyber threats. Dr. Ramashastri, who had been instrumental in implementing the next generation RTGS and adoption of international standards like XBRL and ISO 20022 during his stint at RBI, discusses areas of research in the banking technology and shares insights on the architectural approach banks need to take to cybersecurity in the digital world. Welcome, Dr. Ramashastri.
What kind of research is going on in the banking technology space specific to information security to begin with?
Yeah, because banks themselves are doing a lot of internal work, particularly with respect to security. They are looking at the new technologies that are coming and how to integrate them into their systems. The banks is one which is very vulnerable because it deals with finance. And second thing, their systems have to be open because customers have to use them. So to that extent, their vulnerabilities are known. But within that, they have to build the system. So quite a bit of work is going on internal. And then they also work closely with other research institutes which are working globally and within the country. And IDRBT, that is our institute, is basically a research and development institute meant for banking technology, and we focus quite a bit on information security. So we do various activities. One of them is try to bring guidelines, frameworks which are very relevant to the banking industry. Second thing, we give them training also in these areas, specifically on cyber security, cyber defense. The third thing is banks collaborate with us, like they come and do drills, actually what kind of attacks are possible and how to see what kind of work that they can do to see that these attacks are possible to be detected, prevented, and how to do digital forensics also. So IDRBT is basically a place where many banks come and do this, and banks also have their own work going on internally.
So are there any specific areas of research that has been taken up in the recent past, looking at the global threats that is coming?
See, one threat the banks are facing and generally globally being faced is the DDoS attacks. I think that has become quite, particularly last few months, some banks have faced it and some banks have thwarted it, but still the attacks took place. So one focus area over the last 5 to 6 months, which the IDRBT is working and also the banks are working, is how to look at the DDoS attack, what kind of attacks are happening, what are the sources, and what is the tools that are available to detect them early and thwart it. And actually, banks are not only working with us, but they are also working with telco operators, all three of us. We have a CISOs forum for the banks, which is coordinated by IDRBT. We meet quite regularly, and in the recent meetings, last 2-3 meetings, one of the agenda items was always on DDoS attacks. In fact, we have invited telcos also to come and see what kind of solutions are possible. So I think that is one area which we are working more now for the last few months.
So when you speak about this new wave of security architecture, which IDRBT has been talking about as part of this research, so what does that really mean and how is it going to impact the security practitioner?
See, there are two things that are happening, both IDRBT's initiatives and banks are also working this, to come with the security architecture more in line with the SOC, that is Security Operations Center. See, banks have been using NOC, like Network Operations Center, and they are working with security in pieces, like there were pieces here and there. So the integrated approach to the entire security through a SISOC, many banks are trying to put a good SOC in place, which is managed internally or to some extent with the help of the others also. So what we are doing, IDRBT, two levels. One, we work with some individual banks also about what is the kind of architecture and how the SOC has to be established in as a one-to-one dialogue. And second thing also is that the general framework that is there for this, we have brought out guidelines, information security frameworks and all that, which tells how the general architecture of the security should be in a particular bank and how they will be able to implement it. But one thing about security is not, it's a, never say that this is the end, this is the only way. It's always an evolving thing. So we always keep continuously working. There are three levels of preparation. One is, India is a very special case where regulator, it takes an active role in this. In fact, right from early days, the Reserve Bank of India gives certain guidelines as to what are all the things minimum that are required to be taken. And regulator guidelines may not be technical way of doing things, but a framework, structural way of doing things. So one thing that happened is that IS governance, the security governance, by which Reserve Bank also told that the banks are now doing it, is the preparedness of the information security in a bank is discussed at a very high level, either at the board level itself or generally the subcommittees that are there to the boards, information security subcommittee or IT system subcommittee. So the discussion is at a higher level. The preparedness is much better because it's discussed at that level. So whatever is required to be done is done. Second thing, there is also a structure. The chief information security officers are already put in place who will be able to do these kind of things. And then the banks are also trying to build the adequate systems which will take care of this. And all these people also will work quite closely with certain organizations which are the country as a whole organizations. So what's happening globally? The another interesting thing which IDRBT is doing along with the Chief Information Security Officer is we actually something called as IB card, which is actually trying to collect all the events, but not with the name of the bank, but in general collect all the events that are taking place. So you get a good database on which you can do research, and we share the reports with the banks also, which will help them to actually play their role well and also plan accordingly for the type of attacks that take place. This again is completely a CISO's forum thing. It is not disclosed to the outside world, and even within CISO's forum, the bank is kept as anonymous. It's only to know what kind of threats are there. See, two things. One, as soon as the incident comes, and particularly if it is a major important event, the information is immediately flashed back to all the banks. So they get to know that this kind of thing is taking place. Simultaneously, what the bank did to thought also, to the extent if it is possible, we give it. And then added thing is, we also do a little bit of analysis and say, these are the best practices and this is a way to guard against any new threat that is likely to come. So that's what this incident sharing platform is doing as of now.
So in that scenario, what is the architectural approach to cybersecurity in the digital world? There's so much changes happening. So from your standpoint,
if we look at the banks, because we look at more banks than anybody else, the one is the technological architecture. Of course, that's the SOC will quite a bit take place of it, and then have a streamlined events getting from the SOC. Second thing is structurally also banks need to have a relook at their, I mean, they are doing, but more a relook at it. This CISO, who should become responsible for the entire information security, should be given more authority to ensure that the security, and should become more responsible for security also. It's not like a department of IT. You know, there is a CIO at the top, he reports to CIO. Then the system is managed by CIO and CISO will not be able to do. So that some kind of independence, autonomy should grow to the Chief Information Security Officer. That's one aspect. Second thing, information security may at some point of time become part of the risk management. It's not that, you know, this information security is only to ensure that systems are working. But ultimately, bank's objective is to manage the risk and what risk that comes out of information security. So some banks are moving. In fact, our framework also says the same thing, IDRBT framework, saying that the entire thing should be a risk management, which is at a much higher level. And information security, which creates those kind of risks, cyber security, cyber threats, all that should become part of the overall risk management. And that is a structure that is going to emerge. But it takes time, because even today, in general, information security means people take it as an information technologist role and not as the overall business, overall risk management. Probably over the next 2 to 3 years, this emerges and banks will be more comfortable with risk management as a concept, and then IS become part of it.
Now, if you look at the current scenario in the banks, so does every bank has a designated CISO, or how do you see this evolution of this role? What are the changes that you see in future?
See, as of now, there is a designated CISO in all the banks. That's even RBI mandates and our guidelines also say that. But as of today, structurally, although the CISO is appointed, but the role-wise, you know, he still looks at it as an information security subset of the IT rather than an independent overseeing of this. I think that things are like this. There is a business, which is what is asking for IT to come. There is an IT department which should address the requirements of the things. Now, since it is an IT-dependent work that is going on, there is somebody who has to give an assurance or somebody to monitor and say this is the quantified risk that is there with these kind of things. That's where the CISO and RMD come. So they have to be distinct from either the business group or from the IT department and report at a much higher level, maybe IT subcommittee. This is one side. Then we also have an audit department, and they also are expected to do IS audit and tell that no systems are assured and reasonably well built. So you have business, you have an IT department which supports it, you have an information security which supports the security part of it as part of RMD, and then an independent auditor who assesses that, gives an assurance that things are going on well. This system is theoretically the right thing to happen, but practically most of the banks, although they may have roles, it's not well defined and that is to take place. So two things are likely to happen. One, there could be a skill set problem also in the bank, particularly IS audit, information security, cyber digital forensics. So banks are looking for these new kind of people. If you see, a lot of cyber security analysis is actually analytics part of it, which has to get built into it. On the fly, when a transaction is taking place, is it possible to find whether this pattern fits or is it something odd? These kind of things should become part of the thing. So new set of people like fraud analysts, digital forensics experts, they all will slowly become part of the banking system, either internally or from outside agencies come. So I think this structure has to emerge so that banks can be a little more comfortable about what is happening. Training is one way. We train and then people know. Second thing is get a fresh lot of people while recruiting with this kind of aptitude. That's what the banks may do over the next 2 to 3 years.
So do you envisage any kind of structure in terms of roles, say what could be the chief digital risk officers or any hierarchies that you think you anticipate?
No, not exactly in that sense, but the risk management department, we call chief risk officer or that person. Now, under him, there will be the business risk, the usual the credit, investment and all kind. And one wing is the information security risk. So it should work along with the risk patterns only. So the structurally chief risk officer under that various risk, credit risk and other things. And one of them happens to be IT risk. And under the IT risk, we may have subsets like, cyber defense. What are kinds of attacks? Then insider attacks, what may be the different of these areas, though they have a common thread that it is, but the focus will be slightly different. And then the forensics. So the likely structure is that the information security officer has to be supported by all these kind of things. And then planning also. I mean, this is actually what is IS plan and all that. That also has to come from this thing. So maybe this kind of structure, the strengthening of the CISO's office, I would say that. Today, CISO's office is not really strengthened. So strengthening of CISO's office with this kind of expertise that is required.
So you have been the architect behind designing the NEFT and RTGS platform and creating resilient payment gateway for Indian banking industry. So what are the insights that we can offer to the other regions on security and payment systems, and what are the lessons that one can learn?
Let me look at the RTGS first, because that's one which I was there at that time. See, RTGS is from bank, it's high-end, high-value payment, which should be the most secured payment system in any country. So we distinguish between RTGS and rest of the things, because RTGS is high-value among the bank, and the remaining are retail payment system. In the retail payment systems, because the end user is also part of the payment system, the type of security that can be built is slightly different from what it can be built in RTGS. It's the first thing. The second thing is RTGS has to be highly secure. There is nothing else. The central bank, in fact, most of the central banks run RTGS their own thing. Although it's a payment system, they run it because that is for the banks to settle. So what we did in the initial stages about 10 to 12 years back when we started RTGS at RBI, or the recent division also, is to ensure that end-to-end security is completely taken care of by various mechanisms, either by the digital signatures that we have or by the network itself. I think this is one case which I want to flag. In the Indian financial sector, RBI, IDRBT runs it also, we have a financial network exclusively for banks. It's a closed user group. So we don't use any other network other than this network. And anybody to become a member of this, it has to be a bank or somebody who is approved by the Reserve Bank of India. So if you look at the network itself, it's a highly secured network. No outside breach is possible. Theoretically and even practically also. And this network is subjected to all security features and all those things. So, and that same network is to some extent used for even NEFT also. So to that extent, we are much more secure compared to the rest. Now, if you look at, when we were designing, we have looked at the security features and others and also in other countries, payment systems also. Most of them may not have this kind of network first. That is one thing. So we are taken as a model in some of the cases, but the difference is, the main difference, particularly in RTGS, is nobody matches the volumes which we have got. See, even big banks like Europe and all, that their RTGS volumes are not as high or even not in 1/10 of the volumes that we run. So for them, the security, the way we are looking, is not the same. They are comfortable with a kind of architecture because everything is under well their control and all those things. So very high-end RTGS systems are not very prevalent in other countries as much as India is.
So most often I keep hearing across various industry forums, you need to develop a risk-based approach, risk culture within organization to create a hygiene. So how do you see, what is your recommendation? One, it could be in terms of course, I said awareness and education, other thing, in terms of building skills. So where do you see the challenges?
See, the two things are required. One is the building skill. That is necessary, very much necessary. You have two sets of banks. I won't call them private, public, but two sets of banks. Some which have a longer legacy and people with a different mindset who are there. And for them, it's much more challenging to get into, start looking at risk as the ultimate thing for any of the acts, and more so when you are using IT kind of operations, because they themselves may not be familiar with this. So at the entry level itself, That is for the future. We cannot do anything. As the people get inducted, that's the right time for them to get into the risk culture. See, earlier days, you know, cash, people thought that, you know, getting posted in cashier means there is a rule book. All these things have taken into account. Now, sitting on the IT systems, nobody knows even that these are the minimal things to be taken care of, and this is how I should educate the customer who comes. So this culturally understanding the risk, this whole business, it's not just IT. The whole thing is there. So at the time of induction, reorienting themselves to look at the financial sector, induction is a risk as the top thing. That's at the induction level. And certain things don't take place, but is what we would love to take place is, see, once in 6 months or once in a year, you have group meetings, you have internal brainstormings and all kinds of things to say that you need to move towards more of a IT risk management kind of thing. And then maybe we can even organize internally, like, you know, risk awareness weeks, all those kinds. It's a 1 or 2 years of total effort by each bank. But then the banks may have the problems, their own problems, like they have to run the business and then see that these people do their work. And then to train them on certain skills which are essential also, credit management, on top of it to get into this culture. Probably they have issues, but still it is a necessity. It has to be done.
You have been listening to Dr. Ram Shastri on his advice to banks on taking a risk-based approach to tackle cyber threats. This is Geeta Nandikotkur from ISMG. Thank you.